And sir, we hear this reading and it brings to mind surely the awful events that are going on at the moment in Gaza and Ukraine. Amos is warning the Israelites. He's saying, God knows what's happening here. He knows that you can't wait for the Sabbath to be over. You're not worshipping him, you're just waiting for it to be over so that you can get on with the naughty, nasty things that you're doing. They weren't allowed to trade on the Sabbath, but when it's over, they're allowed to sell their goods, and they're cheating people. They're not following God's laws. They're being unfair to people, giving people less than they're paying for by fixing the scales and selling the sweepings of the wheat with the grain. The poor and needy were there to be helped in God's law. Instead, they're selling them as if they couldn't pay their debts. They were sold as slaves. They were bought for silver, sold as slaves, sold because they couldn't pay the debt that was built up by buying a pair of sandals. And that's what it's about. A person's life is worth less than a pair of sandals. There was no mercy, no compassion, no help. God is definitely not happy with their behaviour. And he's going to punish them for moving away from him. He's saying there's going to be a lot of mourning. No singing, just weeping. And there's a famine in the land. I wonder, is there a famine in our land at the moment? There's not a famine of food here, is there? We've got plenty of food in our land, but there is a famine in the world. Resources here are definitely not shared equally. When I think of my own parish where I live now in Stansted Abbots, there's a lot of children at school that have free school meals because their parents can't afford for them to have a proper meal. And in the holidays, we do make lunch for them. And we cook for the families twice a week, those that can't afford to buy things for themselves. But it's not only a famine of food, is it? People are having a famine of the words of the Lord. They must be. Because if people were hearing the word of the Lord, then none of these things would be going on, would they? How can we be having to be reminded of that all the time? Because Christian tradition calls for respect, tolerance, love of neighbour and hospitality to the strangers. All those things bear the responsibility of speaking and acting for healing, reconciliation and mutual respect. Are we now in that world full of the ripe fruit that Amos saw in his basket? I don't think we are. We're like the Israelites were in Amos' time, too busy to hear God's word, too distracted by everything that's going on in the world around us. And sometimes we just don't take the time we need to be with God, just to listen to him, just to hear his word, just to listen to the words of Christian people that he sent along to us. I remember there was a time at Grange Park when I was just in the congregation, and the head preacher there was a visiting preacher. He wasn't one of our circuit. He had a really, really heavy accent. And at the end of the service, a few people said to me, well, that was a waste of time, wasn't it? That was a complete waste of time. Didn't understand anything he said. Just might as well not bother to come. And I thought to myself, well, there's quite a lot I didn't understand. What I did understand was then he said to me, do not let anyone destroy your peace this week. And I took that on board. I do not let anyone destroy your peace this week. And I thought, that is definitely a message of God for me. I was doing supply teaching at the school, not so far from here. And it was quite difficult when you do supply teaching. You don't know who's supposed to be in your class and who isn't. And I went into this class, and there was a girl being a bit of a nuisance. She was moving around from one place to another, and I'm trying to set up an experiment. And she, in the end, I walked up to her, and I'd done the register. And I noticed that she didn't answer, so I presumed she wasn't supposed to be there anyway. And I walked up to her and I said, "Excuse me, you're not going to destroy my peace this week." She got up and walked out. So that was definitely a message from God for me. And even if we don't think that we're understanding what he's saying to us, there is always something in there, and it makes sense when we need it to. I wonder if sometimes we cheat others by just not being available for them. Not being available to talk to Jesus with them, to listen to their problems, to show them how knowing Jesus can help in a situation. I wonder if we cheat Jesus and God by not reading his word. That word can give us hope and answers because it is the living word. It's just as relevant today as it was the people that heard it 2,000 years ago. Are we too drawn into the ways of the world so much that we forget what our priorities should be? And when I was thinking about this, it reminded me of a poem that I'm going to share with you now. It's a children's poem, but I really think it can apply, it certainly applies to me. And it's called The Old Sailor by A.A. Mill. Do any of you know it? The Old Sailor. Okay. There once was an old sailor my grandfather knew who had so many things which he wanted to do that whenever he thought it was time to begin, he couldn't because of the state he was in. He was shipwrecked and lived on an island for weeks. I wanted a hat. And he wanted some bricks, and he wanted some nets, more line and some books for the turtles and things which you read about in books. And thinking of this, he remembered a thing which he wanted for water. That was a spring. And he thought that to talk to, he'd look for a sheep. If he found it, a goat or some chickens to keep. Then, because of the weather, he wanted a hut with a door to come in by, which opened and shut, with a jerk, which was useful if snakes were about, and a very strong lock to keep enemies out. He began on fish hooks, and when he'd begun, he decided he couldn't because of the sun. So he knew what he ought to begin with, and that was to find or to make a large sun-stopping hat. He was making the hat with some leaves from a tree, which he thought, "Oh, I'm as hot as a body can be, and I've nothing to take for my terrible thirst, so I'll look for a spring, and I'll look for it first." Then he thought as he started, "Oh dear and oh dear, I'll be lonely tomorrow with nobody here." So he made in his notebook a couple of notes. "I must first have some chickens. And no, I mean goats." He had just seen a goat, which he knew by the shape, when he thought, "But I must have a boat for escape." But a boat means a sail, which means needles and thread. So I'd better sit down and make needles instead. He began on a needle, but thought as he worked, that if this was an island where enemies lurked, sitting safe in his hut, he'd have nothing to fear. Whereas now, they might suddenly breathe in his ear. So he thought of his hut, and he thought of his boat, of his hat, and his bricks, and his chickens and goats, and the hooks for his food, and the spring for his thirst. He never could think which he ought to do first. And so, in the end, he did nothing at all. But bask on the shingle, wrapped up in a shawl, and I think it was dreadful there until someone came in and saved. So, that sailor running around, thinking of all the things that had to be done, not doing anything properly, and not knowing where to begin. That's what I'm like. Let us not be like that silly old sailor. Let us be like people who know where to start, because we're guided by God's Holy Spirit. He has set those laws in our hearts. He can focus our lives on doing what He wants us to do. So let's be not like the silly old sailor, but let's be God's people, following His guidance.